Welcome, everybody, to The Sun on the Strip. This is Brock Radke, entertainment writer for the Las Vegas Sun, and I'm doing this podcast every Wednesday to keep you updated on entertainment news from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip. I'm recording this on October 13th, frantically trying to keep up with all the announcements for Vegas shows that are going to be reopening in the coming weeks. So let's try to run it all down for you. As I think I mentioned last week, you've got a few shows at the independent venue Mosaic Theater. That's not in a casino, but it's the former Utopia space near the Showcase Mall, kind of towards MGM Grand. Anyways, Mosaic's got the Aussie Heat Male Review, and there are a couple music tribute shows that have reopened there as well, Queens of Rock and Piano Man. Those shows are happening at Mosaic Thursday through Monday. This week on Monday, maybe the biggest show announcement so far, and that's Absinthe, is returning to the tent in front of Caesar's Palace on October 28th. Absinthe will be doing two shows a night, Wednesday through Sunday. That looks like the first major show to come back at the end of the month. That same day, Piff the Magic Dragon and his producers announced his magic and comedy show will be back October 29th at the Flamingo, but it's moving from the smaller Bugsy's Cabaret Room to the larger Flamingo showroom. Piff is playing Thursday through Sunday there. Today on Tuesday, before this recording, the X-Country Review at Harrah's also announced its return a bit earlier. That one comes back October 22nd at the Harrah's Cabaret Room, three nights a week, but it will shift to five nights a week in early November. A couple of comedy shows are back as well. The LA Comedy Club at the Strat snuck some shows in this past weekend and is programming three shows per night every night in the Dragon Room on the second floor retail level. Also, this one is off the strip at the Downtown Grand, but the Delirious Comedy Club is back this week for two shows a night, Thursday through Sunday. And I've got a little more info that has not been officially announced just yet, but Thunder from Down Under and the Australian Bee Gees show, both produced by Spy Entertainment at the Thunderland showroom at Excalibur, they are reopening on November 4th. I should have more info about those and other MGM Resort shows later this week in my Curtain Up column, which comes out every Thursday at LasVegasSun.com. So many shows coming back, attempting to come back. I think we're going to see a lot more stuff announced in the coming days and weeks. In other strip news, the Las Vegas Convention and Visitor Authority is making plans to extend its upcoming underground tunnel system built by Elon Musk's The Boring Company to other destinations, including possibly Allegiant Stadium and the downtown area. The tunnel system has been under construction since last year as part of the convention center expansion, and the plans to connect it to other venues seem to continue to change every few months. Different resorts are looking into hooking up to this thing. You can find more on this at the Las Vegas Sun site. And my colleague Brian Horwath wrote a great piece this week kind of showing off the new convention center buildings with a little behind-the-scenes action. I recommend you check that out at LasVegasSun.com. And Wynn Resorts announced on Tuesday that the Encore Resort is adjusting its operating hours next week due to low visitor volume. Encore's hotel, casino, restaurants, and amenities will be open Thursday through Sunday only, starting on Monday, October 19th. So I've been bringing you an exclusive interview with a different Vegas entertainer every week right here on The Sun on the Strip. Thanks for listening. And I've talked with singers, comedians, magicians, dancers, producers, stars of different production shows, headliners, just about everyone else. But I have not taken you inside the world of Vegas nightclubs and day clubs on this show in quite a while. So we're going to remedy that right now with a conversation with Aaron White, better known as DJ Icon, who has been playing pretty much every club in Vegas for the better part of the last two decades. Icon has been taking a break just like every other DJ for months and months and months, but he did have a pretty awesome side project in the works when all of this pandemic stuff went down, and it resulted in the release of an album from Roadhouse. That's the name of his combo act with DJ Silver. They created Roadhouse, put out a whole album in September. Their single, Talking With Our Hands, featuring country singer Jimmy Allen, went number one on iTunes just a couple weeks ago. And Icon is going to be getting back to duty in the next few weeks at Tao, in addition to working on more new music. So seems like a great time to talk to DJ Icon about Roadhouse, about clubs in general, the club landscape, how it was changing and how it's going to continue to change when we get on the other side of the pandemic. So here you go, my conversation with DJ Icon.
I think we should start off by talking about the debut album from Roadhouse that you just put out last month. How did this project come together? Because this is a really big deal.
Yeah, so it's pretty funny. So DJ Silver approached me last year with the project, probably around, I'm guessing like July of last year. Yeah, he kind of came to me and was like, hey, I got this idea. And I was like, yes. He's like, I haven't told you the idea yet. And I was like, I don't care. I'm in. Whatever it is, I'm in. So he told me the idea, and then I flew up to Nashville, and we met with John Loba from Broken Bow Records and the owners of Red Light Management, and they just kind of walked us through what the like record deal would look like and all these different things. And both Silver and I had previous record deals with other companies that weren't like super positive experiences. And so I think that both of us were like, this is awesome, but it's only awesome if the label like cares about you, right? Because if they don't, then you're just like they're like, hey, awesome, and then they don't ever do anything, and then you're just twiddling your thumbs and it sucks, right? So we flew out there and met with them, and they were like so hyped on it. And they were like, we think this is like, you know, there's so much opportunity here. This is a really original idea. You know, and so we kind of talked it over and we're like, yeah, I think this is awesome. Let's do it. So we signed the deal. We signed the contract like 5 days before COVID hit, before the lockdown. So it's kind of funny because we signed the contract and then everything got locked down and then we didn't think anything was going to happen, but we were still like, hey, let's just keep moving forward. You know, just cause you don't know. Right. And at that point we had nothing else to do. So, so we just kept collaborating, going back and forth on the songs. We had like 12 songs done. And then all of a sudden we got a call from the label and they're like, hey, 100%, we're moving forward with this. We're super excited about it. How soon could you have the album done? And we were like, well, we already have 12 songs done. So we sent them over and they approved all 12. They were like, we love all of these songs, which was really rare. They said that normally you'd be like, we like these two from the 12, go back and, you know, give us 8 more or whatever. Right. So they liked all of them. Then we just kind of went through and picked which was our favorite. And the label agreed with us. And then it was just kind of off to the races at that point.
You guys, I think a lot of people that do what you do and your kind of production that you've done throughout your career, you're used to this thing of, you know, creating at home or in your studio and then sending stuff back and forth and taking advantage of technology to make music rather than let's get everybody in a studio in LA together and schedule that out. So
yeah, we were like way ahead of the curve and we were actually like teaching the label some stuff when it came to that. Cause for them, exactly, they have a very like structured way of kind of doing it. And, you know, we kind of like, I want to not say like rewrite the business model, but the way that we did it, the label was super, they were like, wow, we've never seen anybody do this before. For us, it's very much like you have to get everybody in a room. You lay down the track in one day, or at least the fundamentals of it, with all these people playing live instruments in a room together and the singer and the writers and everybody, you know, you basically just cram yourselves in this room and you don't leave until it's done, right? And then that's the total opposite of the way that we did it. We would be like, here's a bass line, send it back and forth, or what do you think about these drums? And then slowly but surely we would just piece the track together. And then you get the, and obviously we had to get the singers to come in and sing the songs. But that was awesome because Silver has a studio in his house. And so it was great. We could just have the singers come right down. They cut him right in his house. And it was great. It worked out. It worked out awesome. So yeah, it was definitely for us, it was like just another day in the office kind of a thing. But yeah, for the label, they were like, wow, this is, they weren't really sure what the end result was going to be, but we actually ended up getting the songs done super fast. And so they were like, wow, we need to start looking at this with other artists too, because you guys seem to like have gotten this down. And we're like, yeah, this is just, this is how we've been doing it for years. So
right. It's funny too, because, you know, DJ Silver, everybody knows he's a country music DJ guy, but he's really kind of a great example of what a Vegas DJ does. Cause when you play clubs here, you really have to play everything and change things up. And it's really about, you know, throwing a great party. And that's something that you've done throughout your career too, right?
Yeah, it's funny. I would definitely say Silver is probably the most, or one, I won't say the most, but he's definitely one of the most true open format DJs out there right now. Because literally every given week, he'll be like on stage with Jason Aldean playing rock music, or he'll be at, you know, Jewel playing EDM and hip hop and rock all together, right? And then he'll go to some corporate event and he'll be playing 80s. And I mean, his music knowledge is crazy. Like if you sit down and talk to him, like he is like an encyclopedia of music. It's pretty interesting. So, you know, it's cool because I've learned a ton from being around him about, you know, I had like a, just from DJing for so long, like I have a good knowledge base of music, right? I know what works in the club and I know what 70s, 80s, 90s rock or hip hop or whatever, EDM, right? I have a good foundation of like what songs work and what songs don't. But hanging out with him, it's been really interesting because he's taught me a lot about other songs that I would have never even thought of. And then all of a sudden I see him and I'm like, oh, dude, that's awesome. I wouldn't have even thought about this song. And it's totally different from what other people are playing. Because I think a lot of like us open format guys, you know, a lot of what we learned from guys like AM and all these kind of guys. And we incorporated that style and those songs into our sets. But, you know, he comes from a totally different background. And especially with the countryside, like, you know, you go to country concerts and they're playing a lot of different types of songs than you hear in nightclubs. But they work super good, especially with girls. Like, they know every word, and they'll sing those songs so loud. So it was really cool, you know, traveling around with him and you know, playing shows with him, because I've learned a ton about some other songs that I typically wouldn't play. And I'm like, oh, this is great. These work so good.
Now, you've been living in Vegas for more than 15 years now, I think. Obviously, the pandemic is going to have some sort of lasting effect on the nightclub scene in Vegas, but you've been here long enough to see the changes that the industry was going through before this. Where do you think things were headed in the industry before COVID struck?
So I think that even pre-COVID, I think that the industry was going through a bit of a change just in general. I think that, you know, nightlife was going through an evolution. You were seeing that, you know, bottle sales were down at nightclubs just because, you know, that younger generation of people that was coming up, they weren't spending money on bottles. They were all like GA and, you know, so I think that and you have like these huge giant contracts for 50 DJs, right? But only four of those 50 DJs were actually making money on every given night, you know, from your TSOs and Calvin Harris's and whatnot, right? So you're already seeing this like change where the nightclub industry was having to evolve to stay profitable. So I think that you were already going to see a shift back to getting away from isolated kind of parties where it was either straight hip hop or straight EDM or whatever, back into that more open format, bring everybody together, have a good party kind of vibe versus, you know, just going to see Drake and it's just straight hip hop all night, or going to see Tiesto and it's just straight EDM all night, kind of a thing. I think that the clubs were evolving back into more of that open format kind of vibe just naturally.
Now, some clubs and lounges too have been putting a few DJs back to work, not as many as we'd like to see just yet. Have you been back in any venue for a live set yet?
So I played Daylight once, a couple weeks ago. No, more than that. Probably like a month and a half ago. And then next week and the week after, I'm actually playing Tao on Saturday night for the Tao Lounge, which will be their second one. So I'm super excited about that. That'll be my first like real back to it kind of event. And then the following week I'll be in Austin, at Summit. They're doing like a special event out there. So I'll be DJing for that. So I'm really excited to get back to work. I'm keeping my expectations very tempered as far as like, I'm pretty sure I know what to expect. Like, you know, go in, everyone can't leave their table and whatnot. And that's totally fine. I'm just excited to be like back to work and getting to play music again. I'm super excited about it.
Yeah. I'm sure it's been a much different experience. Maybe it's similar to like going back to a restaurant for the first time for the staff that works in a restaurant. You know, it's definitely going to be different and there's less people, but you're so happy to be doing what you do.
Totally. Yeah. It was, I'm just, you know, like I said, just really excited to kind of get back to, again, to play some music for just playing music in general. I'm super excited to get to go back and do it again.
Outside of those experiences, I mean, obviously you've pivoted and done some other things during this shutdown, but has the time away changed the way that you think about your profession?
I definitely think that probably, I would say not so much the time away as much as like Roadhouse, I think has changed my perception. Going into next year, I'm, you know, we're really hoping to have a number one hit, cross our fingers, like all artists, you know, is to have something that translated good over to radio, which will allow us to do a lot more, you know, I don't want to say festivals. I don't know if those will be around next year, but those types of events, and have it be more of doing just events with Roadhouse versus just Icon or Silver. So I think that's definitely kind of what we're looking forward to, and hoping to get to by the time this really like ramps up, which I would assume would probably be next year.
It sounds like that project is kind of snowballing into other things for you. Are there other musical projects or side projects that you're kind of developing or focused on, or is it going to be more music from Roadhouse, you think?
Yeah, so we just came out with the album, you know, a couple weeks ago, and then we're already working on the next one. So we're hoping to release part two of the next album in early January, February-ish. So not too far along. We want to release the second EP just to keep the ball rolling. And thank God, you know, luckily that the first one has been received really well. And I think we debuted at like number 8 on iTunes with Talking With Our Hands, which is a song with Jimmy Allen. And then that ended up hitting number 1 on iTunes at one point, which was like a really big deal. And that actually allowed us to kind of collab with some even bigger artists for the second EP. So we're in the process of figuring that all out. We have some songs written, and at this point we're just trying to lock down which artists we're going to have sing on those, and then trying to get those done. Because obviously, you know, the songs are done way before the album comes out, so we're hoping to have everything cut and ready for EP number 2 by early December for January, February release.
That's super exciting, man. It's like this thing just keeps getting bigger and bigger. I can't wait.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. It's like totally, and this is all new to me. You know, I've never been down this path before. So it's funny, like my agent at Red Light, I just call her all the time. And I'm like, hey, what's going on with this? Or what does this mean? And what does this mean? And I was like, I'm sorry, I've never done this before. Just pretend I'm like a 6-year-old and you're explaining this to me, you know? But she's always laughing. She's like, no, it's great that you ask so many questions. But yeah, I know. I mean, it's been super exciting. Like I said, I mean, how many people can say they had a song that went number 1 on iTunes, you know, like our first try out, which is like really cool. And yeah, it's been really exciting, man. It's like I said, this is all new to me. And I'm just like every day, like I wake up and get emails and I was like, oh, this is so exciting. Like it's awesome. And it's something super positive to work on, you know, during COVID, which I think is also really, really, it's just really great to have something that's so positive to focus on.
Thank you very much for listening to The Sun on the Strip. My pleasure to connect with you every Wednesday. Special thanks to DJ Icon. Go see Icon at Tao these next few weekends. He's going to be spinning. Go get the Roadhouse album and listen to it and throw your own little Vegas club party at home. If you want to listen to past episodes of this podcast, you can find them at lasvegassun.com/podcasts. You can also listen and subscribe to The Sun on the Strip at Apple Podcasts. Thanks again for listening. I will catch you right here.